Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Well, we just have wonderful family here tonight. And it's always so good to see the people who listen, huh? And I hope it's good for you to see us. Now, I have this reaction from people. Some people say, oh, Mother, you're so short. And some say, oh, Mother, nothing. I say, what do you mean, nothing? Well, you're just a little heavier than I thought. Nobody has said, oh, you're taller than I thought. Whatever it is, I'm just happy you're here, no matter what you thought. Because we're all here together. And I had a wonderful experience today. A few sisters and I, twice a week, go to the farm and they scrub, and they scrub, and they scrub. And as soon as they have the place scrubbed, and that's 100,000 square feet, the men come in and decide they have to saw some wood, take the bottom out of the doors so that all the earth come in, there's shavings everywhere. And they apologize, for which I'm grateful. But then we scrub, and then we scrub, and then we scrub. And now it's getting to that point where a lot of things are done. And you remember when our dear Lord in Colombia, in Bogota, told me one of the most memorable and shocking days of my life in the great temple, great shrine of La Divina Niño. And he said to me, build me a temple, and I will help those who help you. Well, I didn't know what a temple was. I know I've heard of temples. There's the Masonic temple, there's the Jewish temples. I never heard of a Catholic temple. And then we went to Rome. I turned around going, leaving the Basilica of St. Peter's, and way up it said, this temple was built on the day they inaugurated, and I felt good about it. The important thing is that I wanted to put in the middle of the piazza a statue of the child Jesus I saw. It's beautiful. He's got a face that you very seldom see in a statue. It's very loving, very compassionate, and he has his little heart in his hand, and he's saying this. The reason we wanted to put it in the middle of the piazza is for women. Now here's a picture. Today it was made with a little camera. The man's not choking the statue, he's just trying to hold it fast. And it's got the most beautiful face you ever want to see. And it's only 3 feet, 11 inches. And the sisters were around, and Brother Angelo gave us each a rose to put at the Child Jesus' feet. When we finally got up there, it's only 20 feet high. And now, if you look in here, they're trying to bind him up a little bit to put him up on the big stone. There he is. He's in the air swinging around like all little kids did. I don't think you have a TV here, huh? Well, anyway, if you're at home, you can see him swinging up and down, and they're going to put him down now just where he belongs. I just wanted to share my joy with you. And when he finally got there, I said, "Well, Lord, you asked for a temple. Here it is. I hope you like it." And there's the little, I call it little, because most monuments are huge. But he's little, and this is little. And it says, "And a little child shall lead them." And it says it in four languages, in German, in Spanish, in Italian, and in English. And you say, "Well, how'd you pick out those nations?" But those are the nations who put in the marble and cut it, who did the glass, the stained glass, and who did the floor, and who designed so many things. And the Spanish who made, I think, one of the most awesome sanctuaries of God you'll ever see. Okay, I'm prejudiced, you know, what can I do? I think it's awesome. And the reason we're doing this, you see, and now the sisters are putting flowers, and there he is. The sculpture said that although he sculptured it, there's a heart he's holding. That he didn't make that face. He sculptured it, but that face looks so human. The smile is so compassionate that like the men who put it up there, you know it's different. It's different. You say, "Well, why would you do that?" Well, first of all, yes. Secondly, we're hoping the effect will be for women who are thinking of abortions. Maybe just one woman will go up there and look at that face and realize, you know, that, oh, this is terribly wrong. I hope that women and parents that might just kind of drop by and look at him and say, "Oh, I must stop abusing my children." You know, when you see little children, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, being burned with cigarettes and beat up by strong men who call themselves their father, who are so mutilated that they're killed from beatings night after night, day after day. I hope with all my heart that those kind of people will look at that child, the Son of God, offering them his heart. I hope even one parent or one woman who forgets her abortion, you know, it would be worth building the whole thing. Why? Because that's the price of a soul. It's nothing, really, when you think about it. And I'm hoping that that piazza will make them realize that, hey, wait a minute, there is a God. And that God is real, and that God became so small. He looks like a little kid up there. And we're talking about God. The God who created the highest mountain, the deepest ocean, the deepest sea. The God who created all of you and me. The God who keeps everything in perfect order. That big God became so small. All you child abusers, I don't think you'd even touch your child except out of reverence that here's one God created just for you. Maybe I'm a dreamer. I don't know. I think today we need some dreamers. I think we need those who really believe that God is God and he became so small so we wouldn't be afraid. Or some of us need to be afraid. Some of you need to be afraid. You say, why? Because you're living a rotten life, that's why. And I don't like to say, well, you know, you're not living the right kind of life. No, it's rotten. It stinks. Your soul stinks. You put on all that stuff under your arm, forget it. The angels can smell you a mile away. Be watchful, he said, for you do not know the time or the hour when you will be called, when the Master comes. And so I found a few passages of my sister's. My dear Lord said one day, this is from Isaiah, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Can you imagine that? And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the lion, and the sheep shall abide together. You can't imagine that, because one devours the other. And they have only one thing in mind, is to kill and to eat and survive. Well, that's what they have to do. But then it said, and a little child shall lead them. Oh, wow. You want to know one more of my hopes? Well, I'll tell you anyway. You're all sitting here, no place for you to go. And those of you at home, what can you do? It says here, and even people brought little children to him for him to touch them. And the disciples saw this, they were turned him away. Can you imagine these disciples? They, get away from here. Scram. Well, they didn't say scram in Hebrew, but they said something. Now get away, get away. They were tired and they didn't want these kids around. Oh, and our Lord was angry. Very angry. He said, let the little children come to me and do not stop them. For it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. All you children abusers, if there's any one of you listening, did you hear what I said? Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is of such that the kingdom of God belongs, I tell you solemnly. Anyone who does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You abusers of your children, do you know what it says? That you're going to hell. Oh, there we go with mother again. Well, I'm not saying this. This is the Lord. When you abuse your children to a point where you kill them, I know you can be forgiven. But if you die with that attitude, you will never see God. except in judgment. There's nothing worse. I talked to a nurse not too long ago. She worked at a children's hospital. She had to quit. Couldn't take it anymore. She said, these kids come in so beaten, but they will never tell on their parents. When they say, how did you get like this? And they'll say, I fell. You don't fall with burn marks from cigarettes all over your body. No, my friends, little children shall certainly enter the kingdom of God because they forgive and excuse. They're awesome. But she couldn't take it. Little legs broken and arms broken and concussions of the brain from parents who hate their children. Well, my friends, from what our dear Lord said, the whole kingdom of heaven is like a little child. What is a little child today? It's hard to tell because little children, like I had, from divorced parents suffer a lot. A lot. They're abused, many of them are on drugs at a very young, 8 years old, some of them. So it's very difficult today to say, what is a child? And is he a child? Or has he grown up too fast, too quick? Because he does have mature adult problems. I had adult problems at age 6. I know, but it's not right, is it, huh? And when it happens, you got to keep your children together. So what is a real little child? A little child is trusting. It trusts its father because he thinks his father is so smart and so great and so wonderful because he takes care of that child. Because he loved that child, because he can't wait to get home for that child. Do they experience that today? I don't know. A little child trusts. It would never be afraid of its parents. So then trust is something our Lord is asking us to have if we're going to get up into the kingdom. A child forgives very quickly. Do you? Do I forgive quickly? So a child is trusting, a child forgives quickly. And it doesn't remember the offense. Now, a lot of us don't remember because we're getting a little senile, you know. Somebody said to me the other day, you have blue eyes. I said, no, I don't have blue eyes. He said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. I said, now look at my eyes. He said, they're blue. I said, no, those are senility rings. I thought she was shocked out of her shoes. She said, you're kidding. I thought, I don't know, that's what the doctors tell me. My eyes are brown. Just happened to be rained with blue. And that had nothing to do with being a little child, but it came to my mind anyway. But what is a little child? A little child is loving. They're loving. And they're happy with a little. See, you could give them a little toy and they'll play all day long. They're not demanding, they're not greedy. So then I have to be trusting and loving and forgiving to be like a little child. And our Lord said that, unless you are like a little child, you should not enter the kingdom. Now we always think of a little child being childish. No. A little child I think I told you about the little child who came to me during our big tour from Cullman, Alabama. In one day, we had 30,000 people. And this little boy came to me, and he looked at me and he said, "They told me that child Jesus was in there." He was just a little kid. And I said, "Well," I mean, that was a tough one. I said, "You know, God is everywhere." No, they told me he was in there. I said, "Well, I tell you what, if you come back in 2 months, you'll see him." He said, "He's not there now." I said, "No." He looked so disappointed. I said, "Tell you what, you go into church now. You may not see him, but I'll bet you feel his presence." "Really?" I said, "Really." "But he's not there now." I said, "No." What amazed me about him was that at that young life, he wanted to see God. Now that is a child. Do you want to see God? Have you ever said, "I want to see God"? Do you ever say that? Oh, you want to see a rock group? You may never see God going to one of those people. You know, somebody told me today. They told me one of these rock groups, the head honcho, whoever he was, ate the neck of a chicken. I said, "Why don't you say that was part of the performance? You let your children watch some freak eat the head of a chicken." Well, and the kids were yelling and screaming. You see, we've lost the reality of what a child is. And so we let them do anything. They're not adults. They can't make a decision. They can't. So now we have to understand that a child, there is, I think in Colombia, no, it isn't in Colombia, it isn't in Cuba. Maybe it's in there somewhere. A beautiful statue called Our Lady of Divine Providence. Our Lady sitting on a chair, and the baby Jesus is holding her thumb. He's sound asleep on her lap. It's awesome. Awesome. Because it says to me, that is what you call confidence. Our Lord is totally out of it. He's sound asleep and he's holding on to his mother's thumb. He feels protected. Protected. Does your child feel protected? Do you feel protected in the hands and arms and love of God? Or is God some being who created you and everybody else and is totally indifferent to you? No. He loves you more than anyone, any father could love his children. So now that we find that a child is comfortable and feels protected, I got a letter the other day from a young girl, about 15, 14, 13, I forget what it was. She hides in a closet at night for fear her father will find her and rape her. Oh, we're so far away from even knowing what it is to be a child. We're so afraid even of those who brought us into the world. So obviously that's not what our Lord is talking about. If you don't feel free and you don't feel safe, you see, then you're not a child any longer. They have robbed you of your childhood. And all of society is that way. So now we find out that a child is totally confident, even when it sleeps, of being in its mother's lap. Its mother's lap. And a child never worries. Now we're beginning to know how far we are from childhood, huh? Well, we don't. We never made it in the beginning. A child is not concerned about tomorrow. Neither is it lamenting that it fell in the mud yesterday. It maybe got a little smack, you know where. You see, a child is in the present moment. That's why if two children fight, they make up. The parents don't make up. You can see two parents, they live next to each other, two families, and the two kids are fighting. And the mother of one family says, "Why don't you keep your kid disciplined? He just socked my boy." And the other one comes along and says, "You're nuts. Your boy must have needed a sock, or my boy wouldn't have given it to him." All of a sudden, everybody home is mad. Oh, they're ready to fight and kill each other. You know where the kids are? Outside playing. Oh, no, see, that's what our Lord has said. Unless you become as a little, they forgot. They may each have a black eye, but they don't care. We never forget. A little child is obedient because they want to please. They want to be loved. We all want to be loved. And so they want to please. And so we're beginning to know the Lord. I'm 76. Last week I thought I was 77, but I wasn't. I am not. The sisters told me that. As soon as I got upstairs, they said, "Mother, you are not 77. Yeah, I said, "I thought I made a mistake somewhere along there." So what is a child? What is our Lord asking us to do and to become? You know, this nurse told me, who worked at Children's Hospital, she said she was amazed at how much pain a tiny child can take and never complain. Never complain. This little child, I think he was six or seven, had cancer, very bad. He'd lost all his hair from medication. And she said every time she went in his room, he smiled and he'd laugh at something she said. And one day she said to him, "How are you?" "Oh," he said, "I don't think I'm too good." He said, "I don't feel good." He said, he looked at her with shiny eyes. He said, do you know that I'm going to see Jesus pretty soon? She said, really? She said, yeah. He said, I just can't wait. 8 years old with cancer, painful cancer. She said, I had to quit. I couldn't take it. Well, now we know what it is to be a little child. Total trust, total confidence, love, forgiveness, joy. They forgot joy. Well, they'll cry once in a while. They all cry. We all cry. But they have a joy that we've long forgotten. The joy that comes from what? Trust. Trust. Confidence. An assurance that if I am in my Father's house, I'm safe. Safe enough to go to sleep. Oh, no. We all feel we're far from the confidence of a child. And you have to understand, our Lord was talking to tall, burly, strong fishermen, unbelievers. It was strange the other day, I was at the farm, and one of the men who put all these beautiful things together said to me, Mother, thousands will come here. I said, really? Oh, yeah. He said, there'll be three kind that come here. I was kind of curious, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll find out. He said, there'll be the unbelievers, and they'll be struck by the presence of God. And then there'll be the faithful, who will be struck by that presence of God. And then he said, well, there will be the critic. I said, the critic? He said, yes, the critic. And he will say, why wasn't this all given to the poor? Why you waste it on a temple? Well, it was built for the poor. The poor cannot see a temple. The poor never go to Europe and see magnificent basilicas and churches. The poor can't afford that. Many times the poor have no place to go, that they feel they're in the presence of God, and somehow all the misery in their life seems less heavy. The poor need to know that in their poverty and desperation and miserable existence, there is a God who loves them, and that they are welcome in His house. Maybe no one else, because they're not always the cleanest, and they're not always the brightest, and not always have everything they need, and so who wants them? But He does. And that's His house. And they are always welcome. Year after year and generation after generation. The poor, that's their house. He's always there. He will never refuse them. He will never say, you're too much trouble. I don't have time for you. You're too sick. That is for the poor, my friend. Definitely for the poor, who maybe have not been loved their whole life. A lot of people like that. Never felt the warmth of a mother, or the protection of a father, or a love of their brothers and sisters who have been born losers. But there, they will feel loved and at home, because it's his house. So my answer to all of you who say, why this network? I mean, don't we have enough television? No, not good. You need one that tells you about God and yourself, and one that says, hey, he loves you. He forgives, no matter how great your sins are, he forgives. And that's another thing the poor need, forgiveness, because they get bitter, angry. I know, I was there. I know. Hard. But when I found out he loved me, a church finally became his home. Not just a structure, but his home, because he was there and I didn't know it. Oh, I know the good sisters taught me that. But you know, somebody can tell you something, you don't believe it. Or you got home and you're hungry and cold. The knowledge that there is a God goes over your head. And suddenly all the poverty and the hunger and the cold went away. Oh, it's still there in some ways, but it suddenly didn't matter, because he was there for me and he is there for you. Well, we have a call. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Wonderful. And what is your question?
My question, Mother, is that back in 1932, I'm 72 now, I was sexually molested by the man next door. Will I not ever go to heaven because I can't let myself forgive this man?
Well, I think the horror of an experience like that is always there. Some women can forget, but they seldom can. I don't think you want to mix that up with forgiveness. I think you have to be careful. I wouldn't be alone with him again, even if you're in your 60s or 70s. But I would ask Jesus for the grace to forgive. Because when he was on the cross, that's what he said. Forgive them, they don't know what they do. And that's one of the hardest things for a woman to forgive. And they never forget. You say, well, that's not right. Well, that terrible emotional trauma seems to root itself in your memory. And people who have never had that experience say, oh, no, you got to forget, you got to forget. You can't. But you can forgive. See? Would you go to church sometime this week? Huh? And sit there before the Blessed Sacrament. Sit there before Our Lady. Huh? And say, Lord, I want to forgive. I have a hard time. Will you help me? The one you need to talk to is Our Lady. You talk about forgiveness. A rape is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. But did they not take away from our dear Lord his dignity, his life? Everything. You're talking about God now. We're not talking about an ordinary man. And I think when our Lord said, forgive them, they don't know what they do, I think she did the same. But none of us forget the crucifixion. You can't. You can't. Someone does that much for you, Today in Coleman was a terrible accident. This 18-wheeler full of cows. I mean, about 30, 40 cows. And it overturned. The driver was killed. And a little 4 or 5 year old boy was killed. And there was cattle everywhere. And what a horrible thing. Can we forgive? Yes. Is it hard? Yes. Will you ever forget? Probably not. But don't mix everything together. Say to Jesus, I forgive you. Help me, Lord, to forgive. To forgive. It does you no good not to forgive. Our souls become warped. Our lives are finished because every day, it's just a terrible, terrible experience. I know what psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you. It costs money too. I tell you, go to Jesus and it will cost you a nickel. And he will understand. Forgive. Even if your memory bothers you, tell Jesus and Our Lady, help me to forgive as you forgave. Will you do that? Huh? Or just sit there in his presence. Let him heal you. Let him make that man understand what he did. We have another call. Hello?
Hi, Mother Angelica.
Hi.
My name is Teresa. A couple of weeks ago, I don't know if it was on an encore or a live show, that I heard you speaking about how we can get in the way of the will of God, or maybe it was a guest. I have been sick for a long time. Prior to getting sick, I was a social worker and did a very good job at what I did and helped thousands of people and felt like I was doing the will of God. And now I find myself, although I am not complaining about the fact that I can pray and offer my suffering up for your apostolate and other apostolates and everybody in the world, I feel like I should be doing something more with the gifts that God gave me. And I'm curious as to how you, if you could possibly help me in figuring out if I am getting in the way of God helping me do whatever he wants me to do. I mean, how do I know if I'm doing the right thing? I don't... You know what else to do.
Well, sweetheart, the present moment is for you the will of God. I think we're all, especially Americans, I think we're all innocent people and we want to do. God wants you to be, not to do. He wants you to be holy. I'm not saying you're not. He wants you to give yourself totally to him. And praying for poor sinners, praying for the church, praying for priests and religious, praying for abused children is not a little thing. It's a special gift from God to be called to pray. And to pray with pain and suffering. You say, you're nuts, Mother Angelica. Well, I'll buy that little bit. You almost have to be a fanatic today to make people understand. What you're doing now is much greater than what you ever did before. You know, there are spiritual works of mercy, just like there. The other kind, where you visit the prisons and you give food to the poor and all. But you see, what God has asked you to do is the spiritual thing. You could give somebody a good meal and they can still go to hell. How do you know? You see, I want you to understand, all of you that are terminal, all of you in nursing homes that may be listening to me tonight, all of you that are sick, whether you're 6 years old or 96, you're doing the most important thing of your life. You're giving God your all. You're saying yes to His holy will. But beside that, you got time. Time to pray for sinners. You know, St. Teresa of Avila said one day she saw souls going to hell like the leaves falling from the trees. And you can stop that. See? You can stop that. You can bring these souls up to God. So please, don't feel bad. Rejoice. For in heaven they will come to you. And you'll see all these people coming to you. And they say, thank you, thank you, thank you very much, thank you. And you'll say, huh? Well, what are you doing? What are you saying? And they'll say, don't you remember the day that you were so sick and you said, Lord, would you help some poor sinner? That was me. And here I am. I know where I'd have been if you hadn't said that prayer. Oh, won't you be happy, huh? Don't you think that's awesome? Then others will come in their path and say, thank you. And you'll say, what did I do for you? I said, well, I was near losing my faith. And I knew how sick you were, but I didn't care. And then one day you passed me by and you smiled. And it was like something happened to me. And I remembered, wow, there is a God. Then what will you do? You see what I'm saying? Well, anyway, I hope you feel better. I hope you don't feel worse. But it's true, it's true, it's true. Don't waste it, huh? And say a prayer for all of us. We have great work to do for God. And, you know, pray for all poor sinners, and a lot of them, especially teenagers. Well, we have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother. I'm from Missouri.
Oh, wonderful.
I have a child with Down syndrome, and I'm told by family members that I should take him to healing masses, and I tell them that I have to accept him the way God sent him and to bring him to his potential the way he is. So could you address the question of healing masses? Am I missing something that I should be doing, or am I correct in what I'm doing, saying I'm accepting him the way he is? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. God bless you.
Well, I have a thing about that, like you do. Is that you can go to a healing mass just for yourself, your family. We all need healing. Some kind of healing. Some of you have been mad at somebody for years. Well, you need real healing, buddy, because what happens if you die suddenly and the one you hate is up there and you're going down? And see that, we all need healing. But don't treat your child like there's something wrong. God gave him to you to love, to care for. To give it to Jesus. You remember that old thing with Father Flanagan? That young boy had his brother around his neck carrying him. And Father Flanagan said to him, isn't he heavy? He said, no, Father, he's not heavy. He's my brother. No. Don't treat that beautiful child like it needs a healing. You can always ask the Lord for his sake. Isn't he a gift, huh? people always look at other people. I remember when I had braces. You all remember that, I think. 44 years. I had two braces. I had three altogether. And I know what happens. People look at you like, oh, you want a chair? I didn't know. I'm fine. Well, can I do something for you? I said, no. Unless you got a Coke or something, I'm fine. How about a pizza? You got one of those? Those of us who are or have been crippled or whatever are normal people. There's nothing wrong. Love that child. Experience the love that child has for you. And know he is a gift to you from God. You know, I think we can all ask Jesus to heal us, but I always wonder the motive, you know? My grandfather's 98 and he's a pain in the neck. Would you heal him, Lord? Well, you're the one that needs healing. He's probably going to die in his sleep and go straight to heaven. And the Lord will say to you, I was sick and you did not visit me. You didn't even love me. Ooh. Be careful, sweetheart. You're going to be slobbering over the table one day yourself. How's that for an ending? Well, I only have a minute. I enjoy telling you what a child is. I hope one day you will come and see the child I was speaking of. I know you'll be blessed. But that's why he's there. My little director here, although he's 6'4", is telling me I got 4 minutes. I love you. And don't forget, this is the time of year to be generous. And we always remember God loves you very much. Bye now.